Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you want to get smarter in just a few minutes, you are in the right place. This is Curiosity Daily from Discovery. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. We're so excited to have you here with us at Curiosity. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a potentially risky new idea to geoengineer our way out of extreme heat, some bad news for fans of artificially sweetened drinks, and an incredible new discovery about butterflies.
Ooh, butterflies. Let's jump in.
In the race to solve climate change, we talk a lot about carbon dioxide and methane. You know, as anyone who listens to this show already knows, these are greenhouse gases. When they are released into the atmosphere, they act like the glass covering a greenhouse.
Right. They trap heat within our little earthly air bubble and cause the temperatures to slowly creep up.
And in some cases, not so slowly, especially considering geologic time. So we all know these gases are important drivers of climate change. But did you know there's another significant greenhouse gas that often gets overlooked? That's right. It's called water.
Okay, wait. No, water's not a gas.
Okay, yeah, not all. We're talking water vapor here, still
sure.
Chemically water. The water moisture that reaches the high atmosphere has a very similar heat-trapping quality. In fact, according to some studies, a spike in stratospheric water in the 1990s could have been responsible for a 30% rise in global temps.
Wow. Okay, I knew that atmospheric moisture was able to carry heat in its own way, but I didn't realize it was such a significant factor in climate change.
Well, it could be. That's why our research team is looking into the prospect of dehydrating the atmosphere.
You are saying a lot of fun things today. Dehydrating the atmosphere. I don't want to sound naive, but don't we need water in our atmosphere? Like, isn't that where rain comes from?
In short, yes. So, this is just the latest in a long list of ideas to geoengineer our way out of skyrocketing global temps. So let's talk about the science first, and then we'll get into some of the potential benefits and risks.
Yeah, geoengineering has been pretty controversial, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. The idea is that we're just not reducing emissions fast enough to avoid the catastrophic impacts of climate change. So some believe that instead of changing our behavior, that sounds hard, we should just change the world. So much easier, yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some other wild ideas involve seeding the clouds and atmosphere with thousands of tons of reflective molecules that would essentially act like a heat mirror, bouncing the sun's energy back out into space.
And as I understand it, the real risk with all of this comes in the unknowns. The The global climate system is so astronomically complex that one massive change could throw us back into the ice ages or even worse.
And that's exactly right. And for years, these ideas have been pretty fringe for just that reason. But lately, the idea for some kind of intervention has been met with, shall we say, curiosity?
Oh, no.
And that's where this new concept comes into play. The research proposes seeding specific areas of rising moist air with cloud-forming particles to prevent all that water vapor from reaching the stratosphere.
Okay, no, wait. So it is literally dehydrating the atmosphere.
Yeah, and one of the potentially great things about this idea is that, at least according to the study, it would only take a few pounds of something called bismuth triiodide into the air, and only in a few very targeted, very hot and wet places around the globe.
Sure. Okay, what are the potential downsides?
One we know right off the bat is that this method could offset only about 1.4% of warming caused by increased CO2 over the centuries. So its effect is pretty modest, especially given the fact that it's nearly impossible to predict every other potential side effect. But that's really the story here. Seeding the clouds with thousands of tons of chemicals, or fertilizing the oceans with tons and tons of iron, or spraying artificial snow on ice sheets, These are a huge swing for the fences.
And a big swing for the fences risks a strikeout.
To say the least. But this new idea represents a more subtle, less heavy-handed way to modestly handle a little bit of the warming we're seeing.
Yeah, the other ideas are like trying to knock out climate change in one fell swoop, but are super risky.
It's important to note that this idea isn't without its own risks, obviously, but recently lots of governments have begun actually mandating the study of geoengineering, because as it is, we're finding ourselves a bit behind the climate change eight ball. The thinking is that every idea should get its day in the sun.
I see what you did there.
The burning, scalding, life-destroying sun.
Wow.
Beating
the
down
ball of fire in the sky.
The murder fusion trying what? To kill us all.
Too far.
Oh.
Okay. We all have that one friend who walks around all day with a diet soda or some other sweet sugar-free drink. I am saying this while drinking a sweetened sugar-free chai tea.
Well, most of my friends who do that, like, they don't just have their drink, but they have it in like the biggest Stanley cup that I think legally,
I don't know,
it's the largest
about.
Size you're allowed to have. Like, when it's full of diet soda, I'm pretty sure you could like smash a wall down with it.
We're moving on. Well, I have some potentially bad news for me. According to a new study from researchers in Shanghai, consuming 2 liters of diet soda or other artificially sweetened drinks every week could increase the risk of developing atrial fibrillation by 20%.
Atrial fibrillation, that's basically irregular heartbeat, right?
Yeah, it's otherwise known as AFib for short. It's a pretty dangerous condition where the upper chambers of the heart go into a chaotic quiver instead of beating normally. It can cause all kinds of trouble, like everything from dizziness to fatigue to shortness of breath and heart palpitations. Left untreated, some researchers call it a ticking time bomb that can lead to blood clots and strokes.
So I thought the main drivers of AFib were things like obesity or high blood pressure. Is that not right?
Okay, sort of. Things like obesity, high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, and even genetics can trigger AFib, but the fact is that often the exact cause of irregular heartbeat is just unknown.
I see. So those factors are linked to atrial fibrillation, but they aren't necessarily causes.
And that's where we find ourselves with diet sodas, according to the study. The research targeted the effects of no and low-calorie sweeteners that you typically find in those kinds of drinks. They looked at data on over 100,000 people in China. They looked at things like dietary habits and their incidence of AFib over a given time.
That is a lot of data.
It really is. That's one thing that makes this association so compelling. And another interesting takeaway is that while these artificially sweetened drinks show a 20% increase in the risk of AFib, drinks with added sugar only show a 10% increase in risk.
So sugary drinks are safer?
Okay, no, don't get your hopes up. These numbers only pertain to the increased risk of atrial fibrillation. Sugary drinks come with their own just truckload of health risks, some of which, it should be mentioned, are further associated with AFib.
So, okay, what are we supposed to drink?
Okay, another interesting twist. People who drank pure, unsweetened juices in moderation saw an 8% decrease in AFib.
Wow. Okay, but even juices without added sugar still have high levels of natural sugar, right?
And higher caloric content too. But at least when it comes to atrial fibrillation, they are the safe bet. And this is kind of the bigger picture here. The experts recommend doing all the usual things to lower your risk of irregular heartbeat. You control your blood pressure, lose weight, and exercise. But the study shows that there are some otherwise unexpected little changes you can make to reduce your risk.
Like putting the giant mug back in the closet?
No, I mean, just fill it with water.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Summer's coming around the corner, and there are few images that evoke summer more than a galaxy of butterflies fluttering over a field of sun-drenched wildflowers.
Wow, that was very poetic.
Thank you. Yes, I know. So for this story, we're going to zoom in a little bit on those butterflies. So we all know that those vibrant flyers often make a nice snack for some birds, but not all butterflies are tasty. There are many species that are actually inedible, and scientists have known for a long time that these inedible species signal their unappetizing flavor to birds using something called visual mimicry.
Doesn't that mean they make themselves look like something else that birds don't typically eat, like a stick or something?
No, they actually mimic each other.
Okay, wait, so the inedible species look like each other?
Yep, they have evolved nearly identical color patterns to ward off potential predators. A bird only has to take a bite out of one disgusting butterfly to know to not eat butterflies that look like that one.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. We do the same thing with our food, right? If we eat something disgusting, it's pretty obvious we shouldn't go back for seconds.
Yes, but in this case, it's the butterfly evolving to physically signal to the birds, right? Well, a new study has dug even deeper and found something really incredible. Not only did inedible butterfly species evolve identical color patterns, they also evolved identical flight patterns.
So all inedible butterflies fly the same?
No, and that is actually where this gets even more amazing. But to explain why, I need to tell you about the study. So researchers used high-speed video to record the flight of over 350 wild butterflies, and that's spread out over 38 species. With that high-speed video, they were able to focus on the frequency and angles of wing beats. And from that, they were able to divide these guys into 10 distinct mimicry categories based first on their color patterns.
Okay, so they found 10 different color patterns. Did the butterflies in each group stick together?
No. In fact, a handful of individuals that were very close genetically could actually each be a part of a different color pattern.
I think I get it. It's like a family with 5 kids, but each kid looks totally different.
Yeah, good analogy. So they found that butterflies in the same color group also mimicked each other's flight patterns.
Wait a second. So being close genetically didn't make a difference to flight patterns?
Right. The researchers expected things like habitat and wing shape would be a major influence over their flight behavior, but they found that the butterfly's mimicry group was the most significant factor in how they would fly. That means that butterflies with the same warning colors move similarly, regardless of their genetic closeness.
It's like if every redhead on Earth walked with the same little strut, regardless of how their siblings or parents walked.
Yeah, something like that. And some of these species split from each other as far back as 70 million years ago. And despite that huge gap, some species still share very similar warning color patterns and, as this study found, similar flight patterns.
I really like studies like this. It shows the wild interconnectedness of nature.
And for something as simple and beautiful as a fluttering butterfly, adaptation can be endlessly sophisticated.
Okay, but now can we get like another poetic verse from you? Maybe like a haiku?
Butterflies are nice. How many syllables go in the next line?
I don't remember, actually. We'll Google it.
Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Researchers have suggested an innovative but controversial geoengineering technique of intentional stratospheric dehydration that could help cool the planet by seeding moist air with cloud-forming particles before it reaches the stratosphere.
A new study reveals that drinking just 2 liters of diet soda per week could dangerously increase your risk of developing an irregular heartbeat condition called atrial fibrillation by 20%.
Inedible butterfly species in the same bright color pattern mimicry groups have evolved not just matching warning coloration, but also strikingly similar flight behaviors over millions of years, creating a "don't eat me" signal to more effectively alert predators.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.